5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Ludwig, a streamer who seemingly blew up out of nowhere, but now no one can stop talking about him. I'm Anthony Padilla, and today I'm gonna find out why he says that despite being massively popular right now, he knows for a fact he's gonna fall off and become irrelevant. And I'll find out how witnessing death at a young age and learning to accept it has led to his extreme confidence. I mean, he literally said, piss, shit, and cum directly to the CEO of YouTube's face.
Hello, Ludwig!
How you doing, man?
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Visit betterhelp.com/Padilla because sometimes existing is exhausting. Now, I can't say this to many people.
Okay.
But you and I have both interviewed Susan Wojcicki.
We have.
And I had to literally write down phonetically Wojcicki before our interview.
That's how you say it?
Isn't it?
I thought it was Wojcicki. You're throwing a T in there.
Is it Wojcicki or Wojcicki?
Don't let me sway you. You're right.
I did it virtually too. You did it in person,
yes.
Which I can only imagine how much more nerve-wracking that would be.
I think I wasn't nervous.
How the fuck were you not nervous to interview the CEO of YouTube, you know, who has the power of your entire career, potentially?
I was initially nervous because they have like basically SEAL Team 6 go to your house before the interview to check every single corner, see what's cammed up, see what's mic'd up. Like, they cover everything. And then I had to like tell them every single thing I was gonna do in the interview. And so I was very anxious going in.
Right.
And I was like, I don't wanna be anxious. That sounds like shit.
Yeah.
So I decided to lie to them and
I added
something to the interview that I didn't let them know about.
Oh, so you took the route of being deceptive.
Yes, I showed her a picture of a frog.
Oh yeah.
That was at a bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
That could be interpreted that he was hanging himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't doing that.
He's just waiting
for a bus. So I'm incredibly anxious up till that moment, but then when she played off of it so well, I was like, oh, she's great, this is great, let's go.
Weren't you nervous about her watching the newest episode before coming on?
Our podcast is a little raunchy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever seen an episode.
Oh, yeah.
I start pulling my putt in the corner. Oh, fuck you like a pig.
Boba, pussy, and weed.
Who's gonna suck me to completion the best?
Yeah.
We are four men.
Dirty men
who've lived together for a long time. And so we have a lot of inside jokes, and one of them... I can't say this. I'm embarrassed about the people around here hearing me right now.
I like how you can't even say, you can't even
I can't say this in this format. I feel seedier when I'm in that attic, all right? I'm a darker, I'm a different human.
Right, you're a little dirtier, a little cummier.
Yes, I'm much cummier.
Mm-hmm.
There was a watch party downstairs and I could hear them.
Yeah.
And at one point, I just say that, you know, our podcast doesn't get demonetized a lot, even though we talk about shit, piss, and cum. And then after I said the word cum, there was an audible... And after, that was... I went downstairs, they're like, everybody cringed. That was the worst thing you could have
done. While watching the episode, I cringed.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. It was a visceral, like...
I didn't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too in my own bubble with three other men in that room that I didn't think, like, how uncouth of me.
Right, right.
Talking to, like, a proper adult woman and saying come so haphazardly. I'm doing it now, Anthony. You're
I know, I'm bringing out the worst in you.
Bringing me down, bad patch. Back to Kuthness.
How have you been able to hone in on so many different skills? I mean, like I said, that's not even your full-time job to interview people. Still better than me. And you're also live streaming regularly, doing standard YouTube videos, throwing huge events, raising money for charity, repaying people who've been scammed on Twitch.
Just a day in the life, I guess. What I found is that there are streamers who have tried to become YouTubers to great success, yeah, and there are YouTubers who have attempted to become streamers to much more middling success.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that the streaming skill is much more versatile,
yeah,
because you don't have the opportunity to re-record. I think streamers are jack of all trades,
yeah,
and can do a podcast really well because it's not too different from streaming and talking to someone.
True.
They can make a YouTube video, sketch content, because that they're forced to do everything in a single take. As opposed to like Logan Paul when he tried streaming for a bit and he was throwing plates on the ground after Fortnite losses.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't hit as hard. Hit as hard as his vlog content did.
I got started on YouTube 17 years ago. Obviously live streaming is not a thing and it was all so precise. Everything was so calculated. Like I would do 12 takes of saying one word, bitch, or something like that. And we would find the perfect take.
That was in one take, right? That was amazing.
You. Thank you. I have been honing in on my craft since then. But everything was so meticulously crafted without any room for error.
Yeah.
You know? And it became this thing where I felt like everything had to be perfect. And if anything was slightly out of place, everything was ruined. But you're live streaming 90 hours a month or more. And every single minute is kind of practice of being on it and being able to quickly adapt to any situation that you're in. Today, on the drive over here, I played the video of you talking about how you were scammed out of $100,000. And it was riveting.
So sad.
Your suffering is so entertaining and captivating.
Why does it have to be my suffering? It was a great story.
Yeah.
Because it was true. And I did get scammed out of $100,000.
Yes, you did.
Which doesn't happen a lot.
Is it because you're too trusting?
I think so. I think I give the benefit of the doubt. And I get scammed very easily. In that story, the person who scammed me,
yeah,
it kind of ended that where I kept an eye on them.
You didn't press charges.
I didn't press charges. I found out they scammed again.
Does that make you want to press charges now?
Here's why I'm so good at getting scammed. No. Short stories, they scammed me at $100,000. They moved to Texas to try to get a regular job. They fell back into the cycle of gambling because they're an addict. They roped in like three people at a bowling alley they worked at. And then because the video was so popular, the people who worked at that bowling alley hit me up.
Oh, they had seen it.
Yes. And then the private investigator looked into it. And then I got him to pay back all the people before it became a problem.
Okay.
So I feel like a parent in a way.
Yeah.
Where I have like a watchful eye through a private investigator to make sure that he's not scamming anyone.
Uh-huh.
But it's kind of working. Have you ever been scammed?
Not necessarily scammed, but someone did use a weird system to get hold of my phone number and therefore all of my accounts and try to get hold of my PayPal.
Oh, so they tried to just hack you?
They did hack my Twitter. And it's kind of wild because you know the person that they spoofed in order to get me to give up my info. I received a call, Cody Ko, on my phone. I'm like, oh shit, we're homies. What's up? I pick up. He's like, what's up, Anthony? I'm like, yo, it sounds exactly like him. They're like, can you do me a quick favor? And I thought that I was getting pranked for like a YouTube video or something. He's like, go to this Twitter account, follow it. So I go to this Twitter account and I'm like, I am not going to follow this account. Super fishy. I was like, okay, yeah, going to hang up now because I did not know what was going on. I go to sleep. The next morning I wake up to my phone going off because they had gained access to my cell phone number. And then I don't know how that call from that person spoofing Cody Ko's voice and phone number got access to my phone, but then they had also gotten into my Twitter and they had linked the account that they tried to get me to follow.
So
and
they sim spoofed Cody?
Yes. And when I contacted Cody, he was like, oh, people have been spoofing my number and my voice.
Dude, the voice?
I don't know how they did that. Unless they threatened him and it was actually him.
Or he's just actually a scammer on the side. Cody's just like,
it's your time to admit it.
Come clean.
I'm not going to be mad.
Promise. I'll be mad on his behalf.
Have you always been this confident?
I think I've always had a relatively high confidence, and it's always come from a philosophy that I've carried with me since I was pretty young, that it maybe naively I've always thought everything will work out. Because it kind of has to.
What do you mean it has to?
Well, because it either works out how you want it to, or you've tried and it doesn't work out how you planned, but life still moves on. Or the absolute worst case is you die, and I'm okay with that. All options are fine.
So you're like the flow of life will happen.
Yeah.
Time will continue moving.
As it does.
Or you die.
And then it still moves without you and everyone's still chilling. And I'm not seeking, I admit this could come off like I'm seeking death. That's not the goal.
Right.
But I'm also accepting. I'm an English major. Acceptance a word. I'm making that a word now. Mm. I'm acceptant of it, of death.
Was there anything in your childhood that kind of showed you that the worst case scenario is death and that, you know, you could be confident with anything you're doing leading up to that eventual outcome that will happen?
Yeah, my dad died. So I was like, oh, wait, people can die.
Right.
I remember when I was really young, I asked my mom once, because I love video games, and I straight up said, I was like, how many lives do we get? Because I was like, I was just playing Mario 64, and you like start with like three off.
Yeah.
So I was like, how many do we get? And she's like, one. And I was like, blows.
You can't even make a mistake and then fall off the edge of a cliff and then come back and learn from your mistake?
Yeah, I was like, say I get 100 coins.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, oh, death is a real thing. And then when my dad died, it's much realer because I had to confront it and I was 10. Because I was so young, it really shaped like my relationship with death. Mm. I think more so than most people, like you start a relationship a lot earlier because it's easier to like detach or disassociate with a death of like maybe a pet or a grandparent, not to like devalue those, but it's expected in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're told that. So like if it happens when you're young and you have a great grandparent or whoever, and they're 90,
mm-hmm.
it's like, it's talked about differently than like, yeah. you know, your dad who's like supposed to be around.
How did you change that mindset? I feel like that's such a difficult thing. Like people spend their entire lives becoming as zen as possible to accept death.
I think it started with faking it. So it's like, it was an initial fear. And then it's like, maybe fake that I accept this.
Mm.
And then eventually like, fake it till you make it, I think is a really powerful thing that works beyond, you know, getting a job that you shouldn't have.
I think people really see faking anything to be like kind of a negative thing. Like, oh, he's faking. But in this sense, it was actually good for you to fake like you were cool with death. And then eventually with enough faking, you were able to like just train yourself to think that way.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was like how it started. And mm-hmm. I think that at least let me have an honest conversation with myself about it.
Mm.
But I don't know. I don't think faking it's a problem. I think you need to be genuine at points.
Mm-hmm.
Can't become a fake person. But faking things also puts you in situations you wouldn't normally be comfortable with.
Yeah.
Which allows you to like grow a bit.
But it's almost like be the person that you want to be, even if you're not ready.
Yeah.
And then when the opportunities present themselves for you to be ready, you've already been in the mindset that I am that person.
Yeah, and I think that like the person that you will be is something that you arbitrarily decide now and work mm-hmm. towards, and mm-hmm. it could be anything.
What do you see your future self as?
I'm pretty short-term thinker.
You're pretty short?
Yeah, like...
Term? Sorry, I just want to make sure I heard you.
Great start.
I complimented you enough to get that one out.
I think I'm a short-term thinker. I'm a tall man, short-term thinker.
Yes.
6'2 on my license, mm-hmm. in the sense that I like to think no more than like maybe a year or two ahead of time. Although my mentality is do whatever you want because it'll always work out because it has to.
Yeah.
Part of that might be rooted in confirmation bias because it has worked out. I am able to say it from a point of privilege, which I feel like is worth noting.
Yeah.
And it's much easier to say it because it has worked out.
Yeah.
And it's much harder to have that mentality when it doesn't work out.
In that sense, do you feel like you're kind of like, whatever happens, happens? You know, I hear different words like letting go, surrendering, that type of mentality.
Yeah, what is that from?
Different philosophical writings and spiritual teaching.
Are you a philosophy man?
Lately, I've really enjoyed learning about different things about psychology and philosophy.
Give a rec.
Michael Singer.
What is Michael Singer about?
He talks about basically the art of surrendering to the way that life goes. You could live your life trying to force everything to be exactly the way you want and thinking that things will only go my way if I force them to.
Right.
Or you could kind of take the approach that the universe has taken over 13.8 billion years and it's just, it'll eventually work out.
That's a much more Eastern thought process, right?
That's true. Yeah. I do think that a lot of Eastern spiritual teachings do kind of play into letting the universe, letting whatever force you believe to be the force take the lead.
Right. And Western's like, grab by the balls,
They're like, work, 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 capitalism, baby, go.
Something I love doing is I have a Vespa, and I like riding my Vespa, and I ride it at sunset to go watch the sunset, and then I stretch at the sunset.
Nice.
Because, you know, you got to limber up.
Oh, yeah.
I do it like 3 times a week, maybe 4 times a week.
Uh-huh.
And when I go there, I met this Taiwanese man. He's like 50 years old, and his name is Tung La.
Okay.
Great guy.
Oh.
And he's been teaching me a bit about some of like the Eastern philosophies that he learned growing up, because they teach it in school in most like Asian countries.
Isn't that wild? We are taught nothing about that.
No.
No mentality, no perception of life and death.
Like maybe at college you like get a philosophy 101 class, a psych 101, and that's been the highlights of like my year, is running into this 50-year-old Taiwanese dude, because it's very easy to get wrapped up and be like streaming his life. And then I meet Tung La, and he's like, oh yeah, what's Twitch again? And I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah. So
what kind of values is he teaching you? What are you guys talking about?
Allowing the force of the world and then trying to like maneuver through that, rather than like, you know, force will in certain ways. So it's like, that's why I thought of it, is because it's similar to what you talked about with Michael Singer, man.
There we go. So it's kind of, if I were to put that visually in a metaphor, is it would be like paddling through the water, through the river.
Yeah.
It's still pushing you. You're still going where it wants, but you get to guide it a little bit, versus fucking steamboat with an engine. And you're like,
upstream.
I'm going against the stream.
Yeah.
Nature does not want this to happen, but I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to take what I want.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. It's cool to see that perspective and talk to a dude who doesn't give a shit about that I'm a streamer or YouTuber.
You're just a guy.
It's just a guy.
With fish flops.
With fish flops. And soon I'll be like, damn, the fish flops again?
You know, he's doing an interview right now. He's like, there's this guy with fish flops that I meet.
Yeah, Taiwanese news.
yeah.
Weird ass guy.
How many hours are you working in a day in front of camera?
Probably about 30 hours a week.
Do you think you'll slowly pull away from being on camera that much?
Not anytime soon, like for the next year. Mm-hmm. Probably it'll be like the same, but like maybe after that, then it's like 20 hours. Maybe I whittle it down to 15, something like that.
I mean, you have YouTube coming to you with exclusive deals. How did you get to that point?
Dude, I got so lucky.
It was all luck?
It was a lot of luck. What, like, all success is, it, at least from my perspective, is work that is matched with opportunity. And like, it might never come. Mm-hmm. It might come and you weren't ready for it. You got to be ready for the come. And so I was just streaming a lot to like decent success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd gone full time after I got fired from my job at a vape company. Shout out to IQ Vapes. Mm-hmm. They made vapes that looked like iPods so kids could smoke them in schools.
Oh, cool.
So I was healing
the
world.
It was the cool way to smoke.
Yeah, it was really cool that they could deceive teachers and still get nicotine in at the age of 16.
Oh, good.
So we were heroes. Real quick, by the way, I did have a genius marketing plan that would reduce all of the nicotine levels month by month over the course of the year. So you go from smoking like 50 mg nicotine vapes to zero, with the goal of making people quit. And I pitch it to the CEO, this dude from China, in a meeting, go for an hour, have a bunch of slides. I made up almost all the numbers because I don't know how people find numbers. And then he sits there and he goes, this is the best presentation I've ever seen. Our products are too shit to actually do it.
That's it would also make people not addicted to the product, which is kind of going against what companies usually want.
Yeah, my pitch to them was that, yes, you are right, but the industry will continue to make people addicted to the product. So if you are a foil to the industry, then you will thrive because no one else is doing that. I still think it'd be a successful idea today, probably.
Damn, so it could have been sick, but they fired you and then you said, streaming, here I come.
Streaming, here I come. I was doing that for a while, just trying to get as good as I could.
Mm-hmm.
Hit like maybe like 1,000 average viewers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like COVID, bang. The website tripled in size. Bang, PogChamps, the chess event, took over all of the website. Chess became like a phenomenon in like internet culture.
And you were at the head of it.
And then it was instantly 10,000 viewers, what felt like overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know what happens the next month, Anthony? Among Us.
And then, so many people I've interviewed have had their careers like pop off when Among Us happened.
10,000 average viewers to 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost like in the span of 6 months. You met Sykuno.
Oh yeah.
How would you describe him?
Very calm and a little shy.
Soft-spoken. Sweet.
Very sweet man.
And I hop in and I'll be like, Sykuno, you dumbass piece of shit. And it's again another foil to like what was like a very wholesome lobby.
True.
And so I think that people liked that. Not everyone did.
No.
Certainly.
But there was a hole in the market and you jammed yourself. You rammed yourself in there.
I just like being that person.
Yeah.
I was typecasted when I did plays when I was younger as the asshole boyfriend.
So you knew that that's how you had to embrace.
That's who I am. That's my guy.
You did the subathon as well.
That was crazy.
How many days did that end up being?
31.
31 full days, sleeping, eating, pissing and shitting and coming.
Mm-hmm. Definitely the latter. Do you know about that?
Should I?
I lived my life on stream for a month. And one night I was sleeping and I woke up and I cummed myself. Yeah, I was alone for a month, man.
Uh-huh.
I was alone for a month.
And every move was recorded.
Maybe well, it wasn't like a clip. It's not like there was a moment and it was like, you know, Shamu jumping in water. It was like, it happened. I woke up and I was like, damn.
Was all the chat like...
They didn't know.
Oh, that was just a you moment.
It was a me moment. They didn't know. They didn't know because I had blankets on me.
Right.
So I just got up and I was like, and I walked over with the towel, like the blanket on me, and I went to the bathroom and I cleaned myself and then I came back and I was very embarrassed. But I am very honest and upfront with my stream. I feel like it's an important part of being a streamer.
Did you mention it right away?
I didn't because I was embarrassed. It took me about, I would say, until a week after the subathon to come clean. For like the day it happened, the whole day, I was like, should I tell them? Should I talk about it? This happened.
Did you feel like they knew?
I knew they didn't know, so I was like, I'll tell them on my own time. Yeah, it was crazy.
But still, it was on your mind. What was that feeling like after the 31 days of being on camera? Afterwards, were you like, oh, fuck, I'm bored.
I openly wept.
Did you?
Yeah, I openly wept because I ended it. I had a big speech. I'm a big speech guy because I'm a theater kid. So I did like a big old speech, thanked everyone for being a part of it because, you know, it's the first time I'd ever been like number one on Twitch, not just in terms of subs, but like in viewership.
News article, everything. Everyone was talking about you. That's when...
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
That's actually when I first heard about you. Everyone was talking about Ludwig at that moment.
Right. And it was like a whirlwind of mostly positivity. And so, like, I just it was such a great thing to, like, after just soak in. Because after you end stream, there's still a chat. And they were all just, like, you know, saluting and feel strongmanning. And I just sat there and I just wept openly for, like, 10 minutes.
So you close the stream and then you just...
Uh-huh. Just sat there. Just didn't move. Just cried. Just being happy. Just happy.
What emotions were coming out?
Like a sense of achievement, I think. I think it's probably, and I've never been good at anything physically ever, but akin to like winning a championship of sorts and like instant emotions of like, oh, the work has paid off. But instead of grinding football, I come to myself and stayed live for 31 days. Mm-hmm. That really hits hard, you know? Almost, I'm stronger than the Marines, some have said.
Because you can hit harder.
I can hit harder nocturnally, and I don't hit women, so.
Right. So that is a win-win-win-win.
Win-win-win-win, yeah.
That feeling of achievement, was it just like I did something? Was it the legacy aspect of it?
It culminated in a moment because it was the 31st day that I broke the record, and the 31st day that I had like the largest viewership I ever had, 200,000 people. So it's overwhelming stimuli. It's one of the few times in life where there's such a clear, finite end to a positive thing. And like, for example, streaming success or YouTube success doesn't really have that. There's not like necessarily a moment where you're like, man, we did that.
No, it's like, okay, next thing, go.
Right.
Go do the next thing.
But this is something that ended and it will never happen again.
Right.
So you get that opportunity. And then it all came crashing down. Before the subathon, I averaged 20,000 viewers.
In your head, were you like, this is built, like 200,000 people were watching, did you imagine that would be your returning viewership?
I was like, hands up, I'm like, I'm the man now. Like, I kind of run this website. So it's like, if you want to like get to the top, you kind of got to talk to me first.
200,000 people are going to be coming back to see what Ludwig has to say.
And it took me a while to figure it out. And I was like, okay, nobody actually cared about the content I was making during the subathon. It was a news story, it was an event, it was something to be a part of, but people cared much more about that than me. And without that, when they saw my content, they were like, I mean, it's all right. And I was losing about an average of 1,000 followers a day for the month after, which really sucked.
Was your self-worth attached to that? Like, oh, that means something about you?
I think I put a lot of self-worth into viewership in those numbers.
Yeah.
And so very quickly, in fact, like the month after, I spent that whole month diverting where I put my self-worth. That was the first thing I did. I was like, okay, rather than, you know what, let's lift myself up on my bootstraps and try to make things that people like and do another event. It's like, I just got to stop caring about a stupid number on a screen. Mm. And so that's when I made the podcast that I did. That's when I started working on other projects. It's where I conceived like larger stream events.
Right.
And I was like, okay, let's be proud of making something cool. Let's be proud of uplifting those around us. And let's not be so proud about a number. I'm still like very aware that it's like, oh, I still have a really dope job.
You know,
I still have it better than so many people because I think my job's in like 0.001% of cool jobs. I get to sit next to Anthony Padilla, which is tight.
Yeah, Ludwig Ogren.
You nailed it. Were you worried I'd say Padilla?
No, but I was worried I would say something wrong with your last name.
No, it's chill. You got it. Nailed it.
Yeah, I knew you would get Padilla.
I fucked up my own name.
You have?
It's Ludwig.
It's Ludwig.
Yeah, that's how you say it.
That's so funny. Kathy Sue, she was like, is it pronounced Ludwig? I was like, nah, it's Ludwig.
I bastardized it.
When your parents named you, did they say, this is our beautiful child, Ludwig?
My mom calls me Ludwig. She's French. So she has a French accent on the German root. She studied German.
Yeah.
So she'll go Ludwig when I went to school. Let me tell you, those second graders don't love the name Ludwig.
That doesn't just roll off the tongue for second graders?
Doesn't resonate. When I showed up and I got a chipomontier, some handmade, you know, French meal, and I open it up, starts stinking up the classroom, everyone else got PB&J, and I'm the Ludwig guy, get ostracized pretty quick. So I was like, we gotta adapt here, Mom. We gotta start, it's PB&J's, all right? I'll eat the crust, not a big deal. It's Ludwig now.
You had an identity shift.
I have to, I have to. I can't be this European guy anymore.
You assimilated into American culture.
Very quick.
You became the Ludwig with the PB&J.
I had to be a New Hampshire guy.
Uh-huh.
Quickly got to fentanyl, all right? That's a big thing for New Hampshireites.
You gotta get there quick, you gotta get there, and it's gotta be quick.
If you're not hitting it by 10, you're not doing it right. So I made all those changes real quick.
Right.
So that's why it's Ludwig, bastardized. Padilla is Spanish?
It is Spanish.
Because you look Spanish.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I'm a good, I'm a hefty percentage. Also Filipino, though, because a lot of Spaniards conquered.
They did a lot of conquering.
There was a lot of imperialism that happened, and
we can
I just
talk
so happened
about
to be the product of it.
There was some conquering.
I just found out.
You didn't do no conquering.
Found out my great-great-great-great-grandfather was a priest who dabbled.
In conquering?
In the Filipino women.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
But it also brought them God, and they love God, so...
They brought me. Close second.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's much Filipino blood in you.
Well, there's 15%.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know how you ended up like 6'2". That's crazy.
No, I'm 5'11".
Are you?
Yeah.
I feel like you're taller than me.
I have a little bit. I have a one-inch heel. It's an illusion.
No, you are not 5'11". You're lying.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'3". You're actually not 5'11". I promise you. You're not.
How?
You're not. You're wrong.
You know what? Take off my... I have a little one-incher here.
I think you take off that one-incher, you're still 6 foot flat. You're 6'1".
How have I been measured 5'11" my whole life?
They lied to you.
If I'm 6 foot.
They lied to you.
Oh, they didn't want me to have a modeling career because they knew I would be unstoppable.
It's the liberals. They're trying to deceive again.
Yo, I can't go without thanking Dipsy for sponsoring this episode. Dipsy is an app full of short audio stories designed by women for women. Right, women? Yes! So what they do is they bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and characters, and new content is released every single week, so in between listening to your favorite stories, you can always find something new to explore. And I should have mentioned this already, but Dipsy also has sleep stories, wellness sessions, and now they also offer written stories, so you're set no matter how you want to consume these delectable little morsels. And for I spent a day with viewers and listeners of the Completely Uncensored podcast, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/padilla. That's 30 days of full, complete access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/padilla. Now, back to the world of Ludwig.
So how does it feel now with this upward trajectory in your career? Everything feels like it's climbing and climbing and climbing, right?
Yeah. I tell myself every day that it's all going to crash and burn.
Does that make you enjoy it less?
No. I think it makes me excited to work harder so it doesn't crash and burn sooner. But it will crash and burn, and I know that. So might as well do everything I can to stop that.
Right. You know it will eventually not be the same.
I will fall off.
Right.
I will felled off like Gucci, for sure.
You'll be L ratio,
L plus
fell
ratio.
Off.
No crypto, no hoes. It's kind of silly to not accept that and to like, you know, what, kick and scream because you're 40 years old and people want to watch someone who's 20.
Yeah.
And the other 40-year-olds are taking care of children. Like,
right.
What do you want? Like, that's how things go. Mm-hmm. And something that brings me comfort is, like, I'll ask people, it's like, name five actors that were popular 80 years ago. And it's like, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
Marlon Brando.
Right.
My list is getting thin.
Yeah.
And so it'll be the same thing, presumably, 80 years from now.
Right.
And I think this is a huge issue, specifically with, like, streaming YouTubers. It's like, let me cement a legacy. Let me last as long as possible.
Right.
You're not going to do that. Right, you're not Alexander the Great. You're not conquering all of YouTube. Maybe that's how Mr. Beast thinks, but like,
I mean, he might have a legacy.
There's a time for him too, though, right? Presumably in the future, no matter what the date is, and does it matter how long it is? So it's like, okay, is the joy from cementing the greatest legacy possible? I think no. I think it's like, okay, let's enjoy the ride and then bring as many people along for the ride as possible.
What brings you the most joy about what you do, what you put out into the world?
So my main motivation when I first started doing YouTube was that I uploaded every day. And I had joy in the streak. because I had a streak of 2 years where I uploaded every day. And I was like, I got to keep this streak alive. And then one day I was like, man, I'm pumping out some shitters.
Right,
really.
Right.
Some stuff's getting through the sieve here. So I was like, let me break the streak. And then I kind of lost purpose for a while. And then ever since I started the company and I have, you know, the employees that I have, it's like my new motivation is succeeding to cement their jobs into and like that's a pressure that pushes me. Do you feel that too? A pressure?
For sure. For sure.
Do you like it? Do you like it?
I do, but I think that I try not to think too much about how every decision I make can potentially dictate someone else's life and financial stability. Because I think that it could make me a little nervous about taking risks, and I feel like the only reason I've
If you ever stop doing interviews, they'll lose their livelihoods, Anthony. You have to do one every single week until you die. They will lose their jobs. They will lose their families.
Fuck!
The animals are leaving.
Shit!
You have to save them.
Every week, come back every single week, and every video better get more views than the last, or my entire workforce is fucked.
Is that the darkest thought? Is that like the worst case? Like that you cannot explore new things because
you know,
that's...
You know, my actual, I think that my worst case scenario is that for some reason, one day I wake up and I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I'm like, but I have 10 employees.
So you want maybe one day want to wake up and then move to the Dominican Republic and just have a new life or just maybe do something else totally new.
I think I never want to stop exploring what I'm capable of.
Right.
Where I can go creatively, new ways to express myself, new ways to challenge myself. That's when I feel the most alive.
You've exited a YouTube before.
I have.
You've sold.
But those weren't my employees. Those were a larger company. I was the employee, actually, technically at that point.
Really?
Yes, okay. Yes. Because we sold Smosh in 2011 for stock, which ended up being worth $0. And I became an employee, so I feel like I had the freedom to make the decision of, this isn't working, I'm stepping away. Mm. I feel like I have a fear when things aren't going well that things are gonna always be bad.
Right.
And then when things are going good, I have a fear that things won't always go good.
Yeah, so I think similarly. Like, I got the pressure too. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, maybe one day I do wanna wake up and not do it.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, that's why I gotta create my exit plan.
Right.
Which right now is off-brand. And if that succeeds, that's a great exit plan.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, I need a new one.
But that's also not the worst case scenario because it sounds like you enjoy trying out new things.
Yeah.
So if this fails, is that everything? You know, do you feel like you're putting all your eggs in one basket here?
I think if it fails, that'd be cool. You know what I like is when something fails, okay, this is gonna sound weird. I've been super okay with the idea of being cheated on.
Like in a relationship?
Yeah. I'd be super down to be cheated on. Not because I have a cuckold fantasy, but because I would 100% know without a doubt that this was meant to fail. And it should not have been a thing. And now I will never have to ever question that ever. And so,
that's true.
You know, companies are like another point in your life, like with relationships, where like if you try it and it fails, at least you know for sure that you gave it a shot. Mm-hmm. And now you can try something new.
That's true. You know, and a lot of people, and I was even like this in my relationships. I think we all were at some point. It's like, it's not working out. Then you're like, oh, please, let's make this work. We could just, let's just do these things. And the other person's like, nah, it's not working. And you're just like, well, maybe we can like go to couples counseling and we can make, it's like, you're trying so hard when, you know, maybe even deep down, I didn't think it was going to work.
Yeah.
And it was like, why don't I just admit to myself and the other person that it's like, it was a good run. I appreciate you and the time that we had. And doesn't need to necessarily be the heartbreaking thing of, oh no, my life is forever different.
Yeah, I did that for like 18 months at Song and Dance in college with a girlfriend I had at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, well, you know, I don't ever want to not put enough effort and be the reason it doesn't work. But there's no line where it's like, oh, you've put the correct amount of effort. You can now end it. And and so when she cheated on me, it was like terrible. But then I was also like, damn, this is sick. Because now I am free from the responsibility of trying to make it work.
And you're not having to ruminate on what ifs.
Yes. And I think I have the same mentality making a company, but a company is much more black and white.
Yeah.
Because there's It's not like, oh, let's try to make it work, and then you drag it along for a while. Like, it usually just violently implodes if it's not succeeding.
What is the equivalent of getting cheated on?
The equivalent of getting cheated on is like you go bankrupt.
Okay. That's the worst case scenario.
It's a non-profitable company for a long stretch of time. No one wants to invest in it. And then, like, what are you supposed to do? I have a question for you.
Yo, what's up? Tell me.
This is my icebreaker question.
Oh. So now that we're at the end of the interview, you're ready to break the ice finally.
Mm-hmm. What is your vice?
My vice, you mean weed?
Is that it? You said it quick. It could be it.
Is that the type of thing do you mean? Do you mean like the weed that I smoke?
Vice is generally, yeah, the thing that you do that is an immoral or act that's not good for you that you do too much of or partake in frequently. So it's weed.
I would say it is weed, but I do. But it's a weird little internal battle that I have because I'm like, I want to get to a point, like my goal in life is to have every moment that I'm in exist only within that moment. So what I'm saying is when you say something to me and I get defensive because you said something that kind of reminded me of something that happened in my past and then like you should know better. I want to get to a point where you could say anything to me and I take nothing personally because none of my shit from my past is still with me now. I'm able to assess it based on the moment happening right now.
Yeah, that's like peak communication. So that's like Radiant and Valorant levels of comms.
I'm ready to get there. S tier.
Yeah, that'd be tight. You think you're close?
No, not at all. But I think the fact that I want that and that I'm kind of... Every time that someone says something, I'm like, I feel like I can get back to the source. And most times, I can get back to the source of where did that emotion develop.
Is weed a shortcut to that or unrelated?
Weed is a way for me to avoid thinking about those things. So it's kind of a relief from that.
Okay.
I want to get to a point where I don't need any vice.
Yeah, of course.
To escape.
Does. Yeah.
From an emotion that I don't want to feel. I think a lot of times too, it's boredom. So then sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to smoke this thing and then I can kind of check out and you know what? I'm not even going to be able to work at my peak performance anyway, so I can relax. It's kind of a shortcut to relax.
I think that's similar for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll pop a gummy because I worked at a vape company. It's not great for the lungs.
Right.
And I think it's for me, it's like I want to be able to enjoy like if I like watching anime.
Yeah.
It's like I want to watch this and I want to just be watching this and enjoying this.
It's like a shortcut to be present?
Yes. As opposed to like if I'm not, it's like someone hits me up and they're like, oh, we need a quick intro for the video. I'm like, okay, I'll go do that.
Mm.
I'll go do this. I don't really have that option. I'm not going to go do it fucking high, idiot.
Yeah.
But that's like my shortcut to be able to, I think, enjoy things at a higher level. So that's my vice.
That's your vice.
Similar.
Similar vice, actually, and for a similar reason.
Yeah.
Because we're too goddamn creative and get bored at the idea of not being able to work.
And it's our excuse as Californians to just say we like getting high.
True, because it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say it,
mm-hmm.
and I can do it,
mm-hmm.
because it's legal.
And if you're watching from Malaysia, we don't do that.
No.
We're against it. Okay, I'll ask you some.
You know what? Go for it.
What creator have you not liked working with? Anyone you interview that sucked?
Besides this interview?
Yeah.
No, I think that the toughest part sometimes is that with certain creators, there's a lack of communication. And I'm trying to guess if what time is going to work and that kind of thing. But for the most part, I haven't ran into...
So it's mostly like they are like streamers. Is it streamers usually?
They're just busy people.
Is it streamers?
See, I know you're trying to find like a specific name, but there's no specific person that comes up.
We can drag him.
Right.
Was
yeah.
it Ray?
Yeah, like Hassan. You know, I'm not talking about Hassan specifically.
Was it? He could be bad at that. He could be bad at communicating.
No, I mean, some people, you gotta like speak with them over a voice channel.
And then they're human that gives you their attention.
They are human.
But if you are a message in their inbox.
But if you are a message, you are just a text floating in the sky.
Yes.
Yeah.
That they'll read and be like, I'll get to you later. And then
yeah,
never
yeah,
do
yeah. it. But I completely understand it too.
You won't put them on blast.
I forgive everyone that has wronged me.
If Anthony Padilla sends you a message, you don't reply within 60 seconds, you just don't care.
No.
I
block you.
I respect that.
I block you.
Do you want to know something embarrassing?
What?
I ignored your message for the first few days. You have to re-ping me because I didn't think that you were Anthony Padilla.
What?
On Discord, you have this like anime profile picture.
Oh, my VTuber icon.
So I thought you were just like a viewer that happened to friend me and you sent a vague message that was like, when are we doing the call? I'm like, I'm not doing a call with your head ass. Like, who are you? And I ignored it. And then you followed up, and I was like, oh, that's Anthony.
My anime avatar didn't...
I didn't think that you would have an anime avatar. I didn't think about like how you...
You're like, this is a professional man.
I thought you would be like, you know, I didn't think you were in the space enough to like have that. So I didn't even consider that it was you.
And then I hit you up a few days later, and you're like, oh, sorry, I missed this.
Yeah, I lied. What actually happened is I hard-ass ignored it because I was like...
I'm glad we could address this today and know that you straight up left me on red.
I have to come clean. I left you on red. I didn't think that was you.
So when you asked me who the worst person to ever interview was and to communicate with, it would be Ludwig sitting here in the room.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome. Welcome to the worst guest.
You know, we have a PB&J over there ready for you. I think.
Dude, I would love a PB&J.
Take that on the way out.
I would love a PB&J.
Don't let the door hit
you. Not even mad about that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll take that. Dude, your tattoos are cool.
Thank you. I just got so many more, but I went all the way down. I went all the way. Oh, this thing. I went all the way down to.
What was that?
What?
The strap?
My bra strap.
What
is microphone?
That for? Oh.
So I don't have to have a visible.
I thought it's to make your pecs look good. Oh. It's like, that's genius.
No,
it
might.
The shirt.
It might work.
It definitely.
it's a little upper.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.